Now, having disposed of the entire subject of theory and practice, auditors and preclears, and by the way, a little footnote there, Sylvan just said that one of the ways that he tackled people individually and so forth is just, well, where have you been sort of an attitude, make them ashamed of themselves for not knowing about it. And just overtly make them ashamed of themselves. Where have you been? That sort of an attitude. And puts them on the defensive, and then they have to ask at least one intelligent question in order to open the ball. And Bernie was saying that tell them overtly, words of one syllable, and you get it across. That's the answer. And it is. The main difficulty there is in procurement, of course, but there is a terrific factor here in word of mouth. Now, both of these lectures are in the line of be effective. If there are any kind of a motto which I'd hand out to an auditor to hang up real strongly in letters of fire, and by the way, it'd be quite effective to have them actually in letters of fire, you see, on the wall, would simply be, be effective. The preclear who comes in and fools around without too much happening has a tendency to get kind of upset. Another thing is after a certain length of time, whatever other mechanical effect takes place, you bring about a dependency upon Scientology. See, on the part of the preclear. You give him just so many hours in an auditing chair, solving minor problems, one after the other, and you have handed him a new dependency. See that? So that you could go ahead then with light, mild techniques, which merely solved some present time problems, made him feel a little better or something like that, and keep auditing him over a long period of time, and you would have this dependency take place. Well, his case would then start on the downgrade, not the upgrade. What would happen at that time if you had done this would be just what we've been doing here the last couple of days, and that's you'd simply remedy all the auditing by spotting all the spots where the fellow had been audited. And also, of course, you could spot all the spots where the fellow had done any auditing in the case of an auditor, and then you could, of course, remedy havingness in terms of auditing rooms and medicines and things. That could go off into all the times he'd ever been treated by a doctor or all the times he'd treated anybody. And remedies havingness on this, and you'd find out that this would knock out not only dependency on Scientology, but dependency on doctors, dependency on medicine, dependency on drugs at large. And this would have to go into, I'm sorry to say, dependency on food for his energy. It would go right on off into that. And then you'd have to remedy all the places where he ever done any eating. Which is an interesting process all by itself, by the way. That is your physical body's dependency point. I don't say that's a terrifically workable technique. I just said it would go off into that. You're not interested in wrecking every dependency which he has or the GE has, since there's two dependencies here you can solve. One is the Thetan's dependency, and the other is GE's dependency. If you totally solved all the dependencies of the GE, he'd be dead, believe me. He wouldn't even be there. He would have exteriorized. From what, we wouldn't know, because all the ridges would be gone. All right. Interesting experiment. You ought to try it sometime to get somebody who is expendable. I don't particularly at the moment think of any candidates. I've gotten to be much milder and happier here in the last year or so. but you could ruin medicine just with this technique. Just ruin it. People wouldn't think in terms of doctors. There'd be no dependency on a doctor. They depend on doctors to do various things, to hold their hands or do something of the sort. I don't know quite what they depend on doctors for, but people do have a dependency on doctors. You could knock it out. Well, that isn't your main purpose. But it is very, very interesting that after a case has been audited for a certain length of time with minor results, that he begins to develop a dependency upon Scientology itself to solve his problems. So there's nothing wrong with this, because Scientology can go on and solve even Scientology. It's a very interesting point. Here is physician, heal thyself, all former healings and so forth. This became impossible because the individual was himself depending upon a system of some sort or another. And he was utterly dependent upon the system for his third dynamic relationship. So people putting things forward into the society then became victimized by them. And we go down the line and we find individual after individual, pioneer after pioneer, succumbing in his effort to drive into the society a new idea. Well, he himself had a dependency on this, and then he added to it his dependency on the third dynamic. All right. So this is a trap. A bad one. An auditor falls into this trap, and it's practically the only thing that holds up an auditor's case. It's about the only thing there is, that's all. He's depending on a system for his third dynamic relationship. And therefore, even though you go on using Scientology, you yourself ought to clean up a dependency on Scientology. Here is the make-break point of the case. Somewhere along the line, the case just settles down and snores. After this, the case deteriorates. It doesn't get better. And that is that dependency point. It goes over that certain peak. And after that, why, the only process that you even vaguely could use would be a process intimately connected with a resolution of dependency upon therapies or communication systems which were supposed to do something for somebody, and Scientology. And this would be of necessity the process used. That isn't, it isn't just one of the processes you would use to do that. That is the process you would use to do that. Now, we get somebody coming around who has been helped in the field of mysticism for 140 years or something like that, and they're just doing all right. And we find out, actually, that they are very hard to shake loose from mysticism. That's because they developed a full cycle of dependency upon mysticism, down to the point where it no longer did them any good, but they were entirely dependent upon it. This process will break, then, that cycle. It will break that action. You take somebody who's been in mysticism, he comes around, he's kind of rough to audit, something like that, you just spot all the spots in space and remedy all his havingness on the subject of mysticism. All the spots in space where he was talked to about mysticism, where he practiced mysticism, where he got any results from mysticism, where he didn't get any results from mysticism. You don't care what you spot there, just as long as you're spotting every spot connected with mysticism. And having connected them all, you will find that your case is settling down into a groove. Now, you say, all right, that is the only process to use, but let's ask this question about the process. Let's ask this question about that process. Is every case in the kind of shape which makes that process applicable? How do you get them in that kind of shape? You have an answer. Opening procedure will get them into some kind of shape so they can do this. Now, how many kinds of opening procedure are there, very precisely? Since this is not an open subject, although it's opening procedure, it's a subject which has nailed down to what auditors are using for opening procedure. And they're using rather uniformly 8C type of opening procedure. They have the guy go around and find spots. They go around and find places on the desk and touch them and let them go. Walk around. Locating himself in space and so forth. That type of opening procedure is an 8C type. Then the 8D type is you locate spots in space. That's the sole difference between those two things. But there is another type of opening procedure which has gained considerable currency here lately and which is intensely effective, and that is the remedy of chronic somatics by opening procedure, by having the individual locate the chronic somatic in various positions in space. Opening procedure. You have him locate a spot in the room, have him take the chronic somatic over to that spot, fix it there, then locate a new spot, then unfix it from the old spot and relocate it by walking over to the new spot, have him fix it there, have him locate then a new spot, and when he's got that new one located, then unfix the chronic somatic from that spot to the new spot, and when you've had him do this many, 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 many times, you then have him choose a spot in space, fix the chronic somatic in that spot, and then have him leave it there and walk away. Sometimes he will discover that it's the best mock-up he's ever made. It just will be right there. Now, this is a curious thing, but this individual, day and night, is living with something in the same space. Now, let's get the definition of dependency. Occupies the same space of. Well, there's a little greater definition to that definition, and that is that actually a total dependency, it'd be the definition of a total dependency, would be occupying the same space as that thing on which one was dependent, with that thing making the space. And that's a total dependency. See, we'd take, for instance, this match case here, and we said we were just occupying the same space as the match case, but we knew that we were making space. Well, that is about the lightest kind of conjunction there could be, and you haven't yet entered the field of dependency. Let's go into the field of dependency. You and the match case would be able to make that space. All right, now let's get to a total dependency. You're in that space, and the match case is making the space. That's a total dependency. After that, you're dependent on the match case to have any space at all. When an individual's become dependent upon something, it has been making all his space. Now he loses it. Oh, boy, he hasn't got any space. You want to find out what has happened to the individual who no longer has any space. The individual who no longer has any space has simply let other things make space for him up to a point where he can no longer make space. And he has been coincident in space with things making space for him. See? Coincidence in space. And that is the total anatomy of this dependency in terms of space and so forth. Well, an individual carting this chronic somatic around is actually carting it around. He is going all over the place. But, you know, let's say it was a bad leg. Well, by golly, you know, it's really telling him where he can fix himself in space, you see? It's a bad leg, therefore he walks more slowly, he has to walk on more even ground, and so forth. It is dictating to him, consistently and continually, where the space is going to be made. And eventually, having dictated where the space is going to be made, it is then apparently making all the space there is. And this is dramatized by the society, which puts bright leg braces on people with crippled legs. The chromium plate on leg braces is totally unnecessary. And yet, bright things make space, and they'll eventually get down to that. An individual who's going to be on crutches for very long will eventually get some kind of a crutch that itself will shine a little bit, if he possibly can manage it. If you were to give him a pair of shiny crutches, he'd be very happy with them. Because these crutches are making his space all the time. He's occupying the same space as the crutch, and the crutch is making the space. All right, what then, what's the advantage in cleaning up something like auditing? Oh, auditing has occupied an awful lot of space with the individual, hasn't it? It's been making some space for the individual in certain areas. Well, let's clean up these certain areas. That's all the anatomy there is. We don't have to worry about the considerations in auditing, the auditor's code breaks. We don't have to worry about any of the nonsense at all. We just want to know where auditing made space for this boy. That's all. We just point all these spots out. Space was being made on the subject of auditing. Any way you want to go about it, just every place he was audited, every place he did any auditing, have him spot every single one of them, pointing his arm the while, remedying his havingness of auditors, pre-clears, couches, auditing rooms, anything you want to list. All right, this is then of essence in modern auditing, that when we spot spots in space, we remedy havingness. When we remedy havingness, we spot spots in space. Now, somebody told me this morning that they spent most of their time remedying havingness. Looked to me immediately like an unbalanced session. No matter how good that might have seemed or how necessary, it looked to me like it was a bit unbalanced. Because you wouldn't go ahead and remedy a whole lot of havingness without spotting any spots in space. You could, But that's a slow freight. That's slow. That's a slow way to go about it. The effective way to go about it is to remedy havingness and spot spots in space. When you spotted some spots in space, then remedy some havingness. All right. Now, if we're talking about spots in space and dependency in terms of this and that, it would sort of seem like there couldn't be any dependency if there was no space. Is that so? I'm afraid it is. After an individual has been reduced down to a cinder or something of the sort, the whole triangle has collapsed, do you realize he has not yet reached nothingness? He goes downscale, dwindling spiral by halves. He never entirely brings all the bad things all the way in. If he brought them all the way in, they would blow. This is why things blow with beingness processing. The individual is able to, at that moment, envision them as all the way in. See? And they go. When they go. That's the mechanism back of it. He's brought it all the way home. When he's brought it all the way home, it's gone. Well, the only thing he gets hung up with and why he gets a dwindling spiral is because he doesn't bring these things all the way home. The bad things come almost in. Even if he went down to the size of a molecule, these things would not be all the way home. They wouldn't be all the way in. See? They're still held with a tiny distance. A compact distance, which is totally under other control. So we could say, with some truth, theoretically, there'd be no dependency where there was no space. See, when a fellow's space is simply gone, he thinks, you know, and the space is all collapsed all the way around him in all directions, he's still got some space. He's tried to collapse his space by dragging it all in. Wrong way to go about it. The other way, too, if just in total absence of space, you get a total absence of dependency. Seems to me, then, that space here is the main villain. Well, I was giving you a lecture a little while ago concerning the fact that you had the fellow, after he's exteriorized and been through the drills, a lot of AD drills and Grand Tour and so forth, asking to be the first space he ever made and himself, and the first space he ever made in himself, and the first space he ever made in himself, and be that space and be himself, back and forth. And we've sort of taken the edge off of space. Techniques run directly at space on a case that isn't exteriorized yet. Miss. It's just too heavy. It doesn't make nonsense quite. The guy kind of goes along with it, but, you know, he pulls this trick of dragging everything not quite home. His idea of no space or of getting out of space or changing the consideration of space is to collapse all the spaces. Of course, he'll wind up as an object. All right? Our dependency processes then have this dependency upon space. In other words, dependency processes have a dependency, and that is space. And that dependency is viewing. And therefore, it is a fairly middle ground technique. Now, let's say, could we have somebody spot all these spots in space and remedy a chronic somatic? All the places where he, you know, had this chronic somatic, all the places where he depended on this chronic somatic. Today, if you can't get a change in a case with 5-10 minutes of auditing, do something else. Don't go wasting a lot of time. If this individual can't spot these spots in space and get some sort of a release or change, which is considerable, I mean, no minor change, he gets a good change on spotting spots in space attendant with this chronic somatic he's been packing around, this individual is having a very, very rough time and a very, very unreal time of trying to spot spots in space. You got that? I mean, it's just too unreal. So we have to resort to opening procedure. But you've got the answer, opening procedure. You spot spots in space with opening procedure. You have him walk around 8D style and put his finger on spots. By the way, you know, 8D style is not having the preclear sit in a chair and spot some spots in space around the room just because you're not overt enough to tell him, get the hell out of that chair and walk around. It's not that, see. It's you have him up on his feet or on his crutches or dragging his mangled corpse across the door. We don't care how he has to move. We want him to move. That's all. It's not good enough, you know, to waggle a finger. You say, well, this wouldn't work then with bedridden people. What are you doing processing bedridden people? If you've got a process bedridden people, anyhow, their great difficulty is they can't move the mock-up around at all. That's their difficulty. I'd run it at least by waving a hand around in the air. If they were paralyzed, at least a little finger. I mean, I'd do it with action. I wouldn't do it with anything less. All right. You have them walk around and spot spots in space. Well, there's a funny one about this. You have them spot the spot in space and then go have them put the spot into their body. See? Well, they can't reach out and pick up the spot and put it in their body because spots are not blue, white, purple, or pink. They're just empty spots, and they're fixed in space because they are there by a relationship to the physical universe making all the space. See, they're there in relationship to the physical universe. So you have them spot a spot. So let's say over at the side of the room, 2 feet out from the window and 2 feet down. He doesn't describe exactly where it is. You don't have any description about this. You have him go over and locate that spot. You then say, put that spot in the center of your head. Kind of embarrassing to him when he's located it under a couch or something, but I'd be inexorable even if he had. That was the auditing plan. And you have him put this spot in the center of his head. Now I have him go find another spot and put that in the center of his head. Of course, he has to move his body to get that spot in the center of his head. All right, after I've done this for a little while, I would then really fix him. I would have him, while he's holding that spot in the center of his head, he's got his head there, you know, with that spot in it, I'd have him move his head and ask him whether or not the spot moved. And he'll tell you at first, if he's having a rough time one way or the other, he'll tell you, yeah, the spot moved. You say, Well, go locate another spot. Put that in the center of your head. Now bob your head up and down. What's that spot do? Stay still. You've gotten him over quite a hump right there. Didn't recognize it, but you had him over a hump. He was locating one piece of space inside the body and another piece of space in the physical universe. Well, he couldn't be daffier. The body walks through the physical universe. That's what it does. And he'd better locate the physical universe as though the body isn't there or as though it's there. It doesn't matter which. He should be able to locate spots in the physical universe. So, this is an interesting process. Now, we complicate this process by having him move chronic somatics, by having him move his nose, by having him move his left elbow into spots and fix it there and unfix it and move it into other spots and fix it and unfix it, remembering that he always picks out the new spot to move into before he unfixes from the old. Don't leave him vacillating in the middle of space somewhere. Do it very precisely. Don't let him move before you give him the order. Make him follow right through, make him really fix that spot. You say, all right, pick out a new spot. He starts to move toward it. You say, Didn't tell you to unfix that yet. This gives him quite a reality, the very great care with which this is being done. He doesn't get any reality out of opening procedure at all if the auditor isn't giving care to how it's done. So, yeah, this individual, he can move anything or any condition around through spots in space. And it's quite an effective process, believe me. And that is the process that you would use, this one. Spots in space, moving a body into them, out of them, around, moving chronic somatics into them, out of them. You don't care what you're moving into and out of spots in space, see? Before you give him the spotting of spaces at some great distance. Because, as I say, this would have no reality to him. You've worked him for 10 minutes, and he hasn't received any marked change in his chronic somatic. You can adjudicate, you know, locating spots, get all the spots where you've had this chronic somatic. See, out there, Cincinnati and Ohio in general and the South Pacific, and he's pointing these things, and you've done that for 10 minutes, and you've tried to remedy a little heaviness. No marked change in this chronic somatic. Make up your mind right there that you entered the case way, way too late with processes, and you should have started back with locating spots in space. First, by just putting your finger on them. Next, by actually moving the body so that the spots get into various positions in the body. Do whatever you please, but those are the essentials of that process. And then after you've got him very well coached along in this line, he's doing very well with this, then have him locate all the spots he has occupied in common with the body in the last hour. That's about as far as he'll be able to go from the auditing room. You see, spots beyond that point have no reality. See? So keep him in the field of reality and of certainty. Many other drills which can take place while you're doing this, you can take a couple of objects and have him look at one till he knows it's real, and then look at the other one until he knows that one's real, and then look at the first one and find out how real the second one is, and then try to look at both of them and get both of them seemingly very real to him while he's looking at both of them. Then add a third object until he can look at three objects all together and find them equally real. You'll find out when you start in that if you take five little matches and add them one after the other, one alongside of the other, you'll gradually get him to stretch his attention out to where it can occupy at least an inch both ways, you see. Most people, by the way, are dispersing and aren't occupying a square millimeter of space. See, their attention is so dispersed that they're not occupying with that attention a millimeter. And you get them out to at least an inch, you've really done something. You've done quite a bit for the case. So there's a process that you could use on it. But that's a kind of an opening procedure too, isn't it? It's opening procedure with attention. And is just that, opening procedure with attention. You just ask the individual to do this and get a reality on his seeing as many of those as possible. Ask him to close his eyes and ask him what he can see in the room. If he can see nothing but blackness and he goes on seeing nothing but blackness, oh boy. I mean, if he has no flicker of being able to put his attention on anything, you just better go back to opening procedure with spots in space, because that's your entrance point. Putting attention on something was too tough for him. By the way, putting attention on something and seeing things around, running viewpoint straight wire, I notice people are making a little error, they're not getting the individual to be certain by whether or not he feels comfortable about it. It isn't whether or not the individual is certain he can tolerate something of the sort, it's whether or not he can feel comfortable about viewing that sort of thing. Is he comfortable about it? No. Well, then he isn't looking at it. See? So you want him to feel real comfortable and real relaxed, whatever he tells you on viewpoint straight wire. All right, back on this dependency processing, let me give you very, very rapidly here the number of things that you could use it on. You could use it on the entire no to sex scale. You could use it on pain. You could use it on unconsciousness. You could use it on money. And you could use it on energy in general. And strangely enough, you could use it also on space. Certainly use it on objects, but you could use it on energy. Give me all the places in the physical universe, one right after the other now, with great reality, on any place you have great reality, we don't take one that doesn't have, all the places where you have been dependent upon energy of any kind. It's a process. Now, to a guy who's in fairly good shape, this next one will work. Give me all the places in the physical universe where you've been dependent upon ideas, your own and others. Fabulous process. But an individual also already has to be able to hold stable space before he can run such a process. And the rehabilitation of imagination comes under this heading. Give me all the spots in the entire universe where you've been dependent upon somebody's imagination. And that blows the physical universe, the last button. But you have to work up to it. You have to work right on up the line to it. That blows the physical universe. How do you get up that line? Very simply, opening procedure, spotting spots in space, and then spotting spots in space on things you can get a reality on. And then you go up into objects and energy, that sort of thing, particularly energy, force, so on. Get on up into ideas, get on up into imagination, and you'll have blown the universe. If you haven't by that time, if you haven't left the universe entirely, why, come back and see me and I'll give you another process, okay?